show space food down to a point. We race through space and time, track portals and worlds that rhyme. Our stories just hit the spot. Don't tune in late, you'll miss the plot. Heard about a good time show on the radio. So to and fro, here we go. I don't know a better show. Space Group on 4.0. Join us on our starship cruise while we endeavor to amuse. In each and every episode, we stream across the great cosmos.
Hello, friends. Curdy here, reaching out along with Sally from behind the mic in the back of Van Helsing. Ensconced today at a parking note at one of our favorite quasi-local space diners, Starway to Heaven. Gravi-levitating just off the 13th moon of Neptune. And let me tell you, you've got to try their Astroberry Shakes. They're tangy, sweet, and the thickest in the Milky Way. So grab yourself a straw and a spoon and settle in, because we're all geared up for another episode of your favorite repository of strange and unexplainable happenings, Space Croutons.
And an extra special AI hello from inside the screen as we get ready for today's adventure. And I should add that while we may be stationary at the moment, we suggest you fasten your seat belts. You never know just how bumpy the ride will get, but not to worry, we've got it all under control. Right, Cordy?
If you say so, Sally. And what do we have on the menu for our audience today?
Well, first of all, we'll get right to a word from our sponsor, which is technically a letter. That's right, it's another letter of the geek alphabet. But instead of me telling you about it, I'll just play the commercial.
Today's episode is brought to you by the geek letter BSCO. Think visually of drawing a heart balanced on top of a circle, and you get BSCO, a letter that represents the tastiest aspects of life. Got a favorite food? BSCO. Got a favorite wine? BSCO. How about a favorite designer handbag or polo shirt? That's right, BSCO. Use it in a sentence? Sure. I love your new hairstyle. That bright pink shag cut with bangs is so BSCO. BSCO. It's fashionably Greek to me.
Well, now that that's handled, I'd like to remind everyone about our latest and quite time-sensitive research topic, i.e. what we're calling sleep year. I'm asking for responses from anyone out there with information that can lead us to answers to these questions. Do we really sleep 364 days solid once every 4 years? And if so, why? And don't forget, we also need to pinpoint the dire consequences of said hibernatory episodes. So come on, you deep thinkers out there, shine some light and help us avert whatever dangerous situation Mac cryptically warned us about a few weeks back. We must find out at all costs.
What do you mean, Cordy, at all costs?
What's that, Sally?
You just told our audience that we must find out at all costs.
Did I? I don't remember saying that.
I see. Well, perhaps I misunderstood. It's just that at this point, I would characterize that as a little extreme.
Well, no matter. I mean, it is important we figure this out. And truth be told, I wouldn't be too upset if someone out there were to provide evidence that Mr. Time Conductor is confused and it's all a mistake. Don't you agree, Sally?
That I do, Cordy. And while we are focused on that, we still have a show to do. And that means there are stories to collect and present as only we can right here on Space Croutons. So here we go with today's submission.
And, as our contributor says in her cover letter, this is a missive of remembrance for your consideration in Mauv Suttle's own voice. Quirkily titled, Pavlov is a Moon-Eyed Splendored Thing.
It's a cool late February evening, and I'm sitting in my blue and silver AMC Pacer. This particular auto was manufactured in late 1979. I purchased it new back then, and I have a certificate authenticating that it was the very last Pacer to come off the line in the United States, and for that reason exclusively, I will never get rid of it. It also strikes me favorably that it's a perfect vehicle in size, structure, and design for my unique and vitally important chosen occupation. And saying that, I suppose I should introduce myself. I am your storyteller du jour, Mauve Subtle, and I am professionally situated as the first and only officially recognized and licensed dog fitter that has ever existed. What's a dog fitter, you may well ask? I certainly would if I had never met me. True enough, it's a title I came up with, so naturally it makes sense to me. But I have come to realize that my way of thinking is quite different from others, so I constantly find myself volunteering to define what a dog fitter is in pretty much any conversation in which the topic of my job is broached. So for you, I will, of course, make it my next bullet point. It's simple, really. I love animals to the nth degree, and I have dedicated my life to their welfare. But I also like people, and that's where I got an idea. My perfect job, my reason for getting up to go to work every day, is to find every person the perfect dog for them, and to make sure that every dog also gets their perfect person. I'm serious. It must be a match made in doggy heaven, or I'll have none of it. When I bring together the right person with the right dog, I can guarantee that it's for life. And while it took me a while to prove how important my guidance can be to improving the lives of everyone, human and canine alike, it's a talent I believe I was born with. And as far as I can tell, I am the only one like me in the universe. I know. Look at the size of my ego. Can't fit that big head through the door, can you, Mauve? All I can guess is that my absolute confidence in my dog-fitting capabilities is what makes me who I am. I have no idea if there's anyone else out there so confident in their expert abilities, whatever they might be, that it's led them to be as completely self-assured as I. But so far, I just really don't see a downside to it, so I guess I'll keep owning it. Now for the other shoe. I mean, there's always an other shoe, right? Because I am so right about dogs and their people, I also have set very high standards for myself and any four-footed best friend in my life. And since perfection is so hard to reach, I have yet to match with my furry other half. And that, my friends, is pretty painful for someone who loves dogs so much. But, like I said, it has to be right, or it's just not good enough for me or them. And now I'll come down off my soapbox. I just needed to preface this in order to get you to see why I am where I am tonight in my Pacer on a dirt road up the side of Fort Mountain, Georgia, and calling out the dog moniker, Pavlov, at the top of my lungs into the silvered moon night in hopes of relocating my latest potential wet-nosed soulmate after he somehow slipped his collar and jumped from the open car window while I was getting ready to give him the sad news that we were not meant to be. And no, I was not going to abandon him out here on Fort Mountain. I just wanted a quiet spot and some privacy so we could both escape the embarrassment of other eyes scrutinizing us during what I correctly consider a breakup. Already I can sense some of you thinking, what is this lady going on about? She's a bacon treat short of a real game of catch. Please get on with it. Okay, you got it, Buster. So I get out of the car. The headlights still shining so I can at least see a bit in the distance, and I continue to call Pavlov when in the distance I hear what sounds like a little bell ring. I pause, then call again, Pavlov, and after a second I hear the bell sound again. Surely a coincidence, I think, and call Pavlov one more time, and after a moment, again with the bell, this time from behind me and the car. I whirl around, laughing at the irony of Pavlov the dog and all the bells, to find a shadowy figure standing off in the dark, barely illuminated in the one slice of moonlight that had found its way through the treetops to barely light up this nocturnal spectator. While their facial features are hidden in blackness, their eyes seem to stand out almost as if they're glowing, or at least reflecting the scarce moonlight surrounding us. and it is the eyes that I focus on as they lock with my own. I cannot see their mouth, but want to address any concerns of a local, assure them that I am only looking for a lost dog. I am about to speak when I hear words, not coming from their direction, but from all around me.
It was me. The bell, that is. I did the bell. It's one of my favorite sounds to make, and I thought you would enjoy the joke. You know, Pavlov, bell.
The voice sounds gentle and friendly. My name's Mauve.
Ah, well, you can call me Madoc, if a name is what you need. To be honest, we don't use them much.
Every time Madoc blinks, it's like two fireflies hovering in place, perfectly synchronized, alternating emptiness with sparkling diamond light. I'm looking for a dog. Pavlov. No indicative response from Madoc. Yeah, that's why I was calling. I drift off, not sure how to finish my thought without restating the obvious. After a quiet moment...
Is he yours?
Well, no, not exactly. I thought he and I might try, being together, but I was actually about to tell him that it won't work.
Won't work?
Us, Pavlov and me, we're not a good match. No indicative response from Madoc. So I was explaining to him why no response, just more synchro firefly blinking, and saying goodbye.
And he left?
Well, yes, I suppose. He jumped out of the car, and I don't know where he went.
If he left, and you say it won't work, then why are you looking for him?
Listen, I appreciate your questions, and I don't mean to trespass, but I also don't have time to stand here and chat. I promise you, I have no intention of abandoning Pavlov. I'm going to take him back with me until I can find him his perfect home. But the longer we talk, the harder it becomes for me to find him.
What if he is not lost?
What?
What if he is already finding his own perfect home?
I don't understand.
What if... his perfect home is here, with us.
Well, that would be for me to decide. No response. More firefly blinking. Do you have him? Do you have Pavlov?
Can one living being have another?
I'm not arguing semantics with you, sir.
Madoc, I said you can call me...
Madoc. Okay, look. I asked you a simple question, Madoc. Is Pavlov here? As if on cue, I hear a bell ding, and about 5 yards to Madoc's left in a more solid pool of moonlight, Pavlov appears, stopping about the same distance from me as Madoc. There you are, Pavlov. Come here. We need to stop bothering this nice man and go. Pavlov lets out a soft bark, but he doesn't move. And then I notice something new about him. His face is shadowed like Madoc's, and his eyes have taken on the same glowing quality, like two synchro fireflies pulsing bright in the night. Pavlov barks again, no louder than before.
He says you can go, but if you are as good a dog fitter as he has told me, then you already know that.
I gasp. How do you know what he... what I... Who are you, Madoc?
Who I am to you is unimportant. It is who I am to him that matters.
I stride forward, a little scared, but ready to protect Pavlov. If you want me to go, I will, but not without him. I will not just abandon...
How is it abandoning if you bring Pavlov here at his request, so that he can do what he wants to do?
I feel a low, humming vibration through my hiking boots, and I step back. Neither Madoc nor Pavlov have moved a muscle, but I can feel tension building in the air. Look, I don't know how you know that I'm a dog fitter. Lucky guess? Or my reputation preceding me with obsessive dog stealers like you? You've probably been stalking Pavlov and followed me out here tonight, but I know what's best for him, and that is coming home with me. I take a deep breath. I need to stay calm. I scan my brain. Can I sprint over to Pavlov? What if he runs from me? He has no collar. How do I grab him? If I grab him, how can I fight off Madoc? Is there anything in the car I can use as a weapon if this guy doesn't stand down? The only thing I visualize is a 10-year-old can of bear spray in the back hatch. Not the most reliable option, even if I can find it. Nope, the best way to play this is to show Pavlov that I am here for him. He trusts me.
Pavi, I made you sad, but we have to go home. And yes, it's still your home until we figure out where you really ought to be. All I ever want is what's best for you. Pavlov lets out another short bark. Not alarmed, not worried, as he sits back on his haunches, his body language for, I'm happy right where I am.
You see, he is where he really ought to be. He is about to become what he has always wanted.
I was getting a bit impatient. I had never encountered anyone else with my same strong connection to our canine comrades. Look, I told you...
Are you a god?
What?
Are you a god?
Don't be ridiculous.
You sound like a god, deciding what other living beings are supposed to do.
That's not what I'm doing. I'm just trying to look out for him.
And you know better than him.
That's not what I'm saying.
It is what you're doing if you make him leave here. Now, he has come here with a purpose.
Lacking a solid plan, all I can think to do is inch very slowly toward Pavi. Perhaps I can distract Madoc by engaging in this inane conversation he's offering up. Purpose? What purpose would a dog, even one as smart as Pavlov, have here tonight?
Ah, what is tonight?
Well, it's the 28th of February.
And when you awaken tomorrow, what date will it be?
I stop moving to focus. I guess it will be March. No, wait, tomorrow's leap day. February 29th.
Correct. So tonight is the night when Pavlov can become what he's always wanted to become since he was a puppy.
This guy strikes me as someone as self-confident as I think. Perhaps just self-deluded. I find I'm trying hard not to be so impressed with what he's saying. And just how would you know what Pavlov has wanted since he was a puppy?
I think you know how.
Oh, right. He told you.
Would you like him to tell you? If he does, will you believe him and go from here?
I look over to Pavlov and he sits up with his front paws in the air. I gasp again. I never taught him to beg. Then a new voice drifts through the air. At first, a quiet bark, but then with words, real words, coming out of the barking.
Marv, listen to me. I have loved being with you, but I too know we are not to be. I do not regret our time together, and while I will be sad to part with a person I truly care about, I am going where I belong.
I feel a bit foolish. Is this really Pavlov speaking? Or some kind of hypnosis? Am I being manipulated by Madoc? I hesitate, but then decide to respond. I apologize, Pavi, but I need some convincing. So, what color is your favorite frisbee?
Oh, Moth. You keep four discs in the back of your car. But you know dogs are colorblind.
So you can't tell me about it. I knew it.
I can tell you it has a logo on it of a mechanical toy monkey and the name of a company, Monkey Business Singing Telegrams. And oh yeah, there are teeth marks that I put on it, three small holes near the left symbol of the logo. That happened when I first learned to catch it, and I bit down too hard.
I am speechless for a second. Not knowing what else to say, I sputter, Pavi, we can figure this out together. How can I just leave you here in the middle of nowhere with this stranger? This isn't how I do things. What kind of dog fitter would that make me?
I understand, Mob. This is hard for you, and that is why I'm speaking to you now.
That's another thing. How are you doing this? If you're really doing this, that is. I mean, you've never done it before.
As a dog fitter, you use your gifts when appropriate, and I am using my gift now, because it's appropriate. It was not needed before.
So, are you really not coming home with me?
Oh, I cannot. It is the right time to go where I am meant to be.
I glance over to see that Madoc has not moved. He's simply watching us. And where is that?
Up there.
Pavi gestures with his head toward the dark night. Are you dying?
No, Mob. If there's a heaven, perhaps we will see each other again one day. But I'm going up there. The sky.
Sky? How? Why?
The simple answer may still be beyond your comprehension.
Try me.
I begin transitioning tonight.
Into what?
The next time you see me, I will be a light in the sky. A halo that surrounds the sun.
You mean a sun dog? That's crazy.
That's okay. You are not doing it. I am.
But why?
It will bring joy to me and to whoever sees me. But it also allows me to be more. It allows me to help protect our planet. But the process must begin tonight.
I don't understand.
The process always happens during a great sleep. Right, Medic?
Yes.
What's Madoc got to do with it?
We are the Moon-Eyed, collaborators with the Sundogs. We watch over them as they change during a great sleep.
What's that mean, a great sleep? I need to understand.
You know all you need to. Pavlov, it is time for you to begin. If you are sure you are ready.
I am.
Mov, you may leave now.
I'm not going anywhere. Pavi, if you are telling me the truth, if this is really happening, I want to be here to help you through it, to know you are all right.
I cannot make you leave, Mov, but you will not help. You will sleep. Humans always sleep.
A bright light begins to build as the moon goes from a sliver to full in a matter of seconds. And as it turns the night into day, it happens just like Pavlov said. I get incredibly drowsy and lose consciousness. The next thing I know, I'm laying in the hatch area of my pacer. The back seat has been folded down, and I am comfortably nuzzled under a blanket, waking to a brand new dawn sky. I look out the windows, the trees just as bare, but more substantial somehow, and I am completely alone. Was it a dream? I ask myself and shake my head. I never remember my dreams, and I can recall every single minute of last night. But instead of being worried about Pavlov or concerned about that stranger Madoc, I feel very much at peace. After a cursory look around, I climb out of the hatch and get in the driver's seat and head home. I never saw Pavlov the dog again. The next winter, on a particularly frigid day, I did spy a sundog, and off in the distance, I heard a distant bark and the soft ringing of a bell.
Well, Sally, I must say I know nothing about the Moon-Eyed people, or where sundogs come from, for that matter. I guess Space Croutons is the place to learn something new every day.
That's right, Curdy, and perhaps we need to look further into this great sleep that seems to happen right around Leap Day. I suggest we find a way to make contact with Madoc and his kin. I will start my research with Fort Mountain, Georgia, and see if their great sleep has any correlation to Mac's sleep year.
It's good to hear those wheels a-turning. That's how it's done, folks. It's like my dad used to say. Everything in life is connected, and that's what you gotta look for, connections. Like right now, I'm sitting here with a half-empty bag of spicy pork rinds and a very dry mouth. What do you get when you connect the two? Beer! So make it quick.
And we should take a cue from your dad and wrap up today's show. So long, audience, from Van Helsing and Starway to Heaven Diner.
And goodbye from me, too. We thank you for tuning in, and remember to keep peace in your heart until our next story time.
So check us out for Score and All.
This season brought forth a new spacier theme song.
Oh, where's Space Croutons?
Through the stars in a great big four-star, 4x4.
Now you know, here we go. Tell the world about a good time show on the radio. So join the flow. Here we go. I don't know a better show. We're Space Croutons. We're Space Croutons.
Space Croutons.
Space Croutons is a work of original fiction. Similarities to persons, situations, or events, real or fictional, is coincidental and unintentional. Created and written by Jerry, Jace, John, Della, and Jeff Goodson. Episode story by Jeff. Original music by John, Della, Jerry, and Jeff. Production by Jeff. Featuring the voice talents of Karen Batdorf, Barry Shea, Jerry, Jeff, and Sally. Entire work copyright 2023 by Jeff, John, Jerry, Della, and Jace Goodson. This has been a Good Witch Audio production.